Whoa, Matt. A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BluesPro.com. Hey everyone. Oh geez, he's still going.
Ray's taking the guitar solo.
The guitar solo. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 205 of Walmet. Did you hear our awesome intro music? As we're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BluesPro.com. Today is Monday, July 8th of 2019, and I am your host here in Kansas City. My name is J.R. Cook, and as you heard, I am joined by our normal crew from New Hampshire, Danny and Ray, our excellent acapella singers, because my stupid soundboard's not working. I have this button. This button works, guys. That works, but nothing else. Nothing else works. So,
all right, when are we starting the barbershop quartet?
Wait, I thought we agreed to just pretend that, like, it never happened.
I changed my mind. People need to know why that was so awful.
No, that was great. What are you talking about? They're going to make a movie about us.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, JR. I don't know what you're on, buddy, but...
I don't know either. I just...
I'm having none of it.
Okay.
That was amazing.
Okay, if you say so, we'll just record that, and that'll be our intro from here on out.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I feel off right now because I'm so used to hearing that music and then it getting me just so ramped up and ready to go that this doesn't feel the same right now.
That's You're not weird. Ramped up and ready to go after that?
No,
like, I'm raring
really,
to go. This is
I'm really not
ready to the other show.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think maybe
you
off.
Just. You're just not into it enough. You need more passion. You need more soul in your singing.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was. Whatever you want to call that. I think I would call it singing. I'm not 100% sure, though. But
that was not singing. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, I think it was close enough.
No.
No? I thought it was beautiful.
All right. So let's get this thing kind of started here a little bit. Danny, like I said, New Hampshire, Ray, Danny. Danny, what have you been up to in this last week?
I've been playing. Well, yesterday I went. I didn't hit Legend last season for one the first times in a while. So I was grinding my way up back to rank 5. So played a little bit of that. The wild meta's in a bit of flux right now because of Cyclone Mage. So, I mean, it feels really bad. So, I'm just waiting for this new expansion to come out, and I'm playing other games in the meantime.
All right.
Playing a lot of TFT. Got to play a lot with Ray, having a ton of fun with the game. It's a lot of fun.
I just don't understand it. I don't understand
the
game.
For me personally, a lot of the reason why I find it so entertaining is because I can play with, like, the homies. Like, it's not something where you have to grind by yourself.
So it's multiplayer?
Kinda, yeah, you play with 8 people. Like, I've only been playing with 8 mans.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's more people than I'm friends with. So that's probably why I can't get into it.
What? We had a crew. We had John play with us at one point.
Yeah, I play with John, like, a lot, actually. Yeah, and, like, the other day when Danny was playing with me, like, what was it? Frodan randomly invited me, and then I brought Danny along. And it was
we had a crew.
it was like a bunch of Hearthstone people, but then they didn't want like random people in their Discord calls. Like, they invited me, but then, like, I was like, yo, can Danny join the Discord call? And then they're like, nah. And I was like,
I just didn't care. But it makes sense. But, you know,
nah, dude, I was like, I was having none of it. I was like, all right.
So we started our own call.
Yeah, dude, I was just like, nah, I'm good.
And by the end, our call was more popping than their call.
Yeah, no, we started our own group, and then everybody was like in our group, and then Frodan kept trying to join our group after. Pretty good. It was pretty good.
It was pretty funny.
Because I created, like, a Discord, and then, like, that Discord, like, has actually gotten a decent amount of people in, like, chit-chat, like, not like a lot of people, but like a decent amount of like Hearthstone people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just like people that we're all friends with. So then they're like, maybe we should play with these guys. And but I was like, nah, dude, you're not letting my boy Danny in. Nah.
Let me in.
Donuts for the donuts, dude.
We go nuts for the donuts.
Yeah, dude, you let Danny in or not.
Dude, that should be my tagline. Why have I not had that as my tagline?
I don't know. You're messing up, though. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll have to try it out. So I've tried Dota Underlords. I believe that's what it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've tried that one. I played it like one night, and I'm like, I don't get it.
I think that you
I won against the bots, and I'm like, I don't understand why I just won.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, it'll take a bit. I mean, I think that for me, because I don't know the league characters, so it took a while for me to get that. But I feel that when I started playing auto chess, just in general, I was playing exclusively with friends in groups. I think that is the best. If you're going in, you're playing solo to learn the game, like that's a fun and fine experience. But I've had the most fun in this game when I'm talking with other people and I can go through and actively learn by asking questions and like being in a Discord call with people. Like yeah. We had a bunch of Wild Hearthstone players playing the original auto chess when it came out. And then like we all had no idea what was going on. So we were like talking with each other, oh, we're going mages or all these different things. And it's a lot of fun because especially in TFT, because there are rounds where you're going in with a carousel and it's like a group pick where everyone does stuff and like the competition to see who gets different things. And then you can go in and argue with people. Oh, I want this. Get out of my way.
Right.
It's a lot of fun.
So it's not so much the game itself. It's
well, not
the
social not that, there, aspect. There is, yeah. So there is a social aspect to it, especially, and that's what got me started with it for auto chess. But I think that the game kept me around, right? Where yeah, it's like sure. The social experience got me started, and then from there on in, like I was solo queuing all the time with auto chess, just because I'm like I really like this game.
Yeah, I think my problem is like I don't game a lot anymore in general. I usually I get home, I'm tired. I just want to like watch some YouTube videos or something and, you know, basically just chill out. I'll play some mobile games. I'll play a little bit of Hearthstone. You know, I'll spin up Pokemon Go or something, just sit on my couch and play that for a bit. And, you know, just kind of chill out. And I don't really want to get on the computer and play around. And when I do, I don't like to bug people to play games. I don't like being like, hey, can I join your group? Because I always feel like maybe it's anxiety or something like that, but I always feel like I'm a burden, you know, almost like, why would we want to play with this guy, you know? So I don't like bugging people like that. So that's why games that I tend to gravitate towards are usually games I can just jump in solo, chat with a few people that are playing randomly or whatever. And then if I have some friends that invite me to come in and play, I'll play. But it just doesn't happen very often because I'm usually not the one reaching out to get other people to play, you know?
Yeah.
Let this be an open invite to you, JR. You can join us playing TFT anytime. Right. We're playing a lot, so
That's definitely true.
We will track it down.
I think that's
definitely anxiety. Like, I think that's you just like thinking in your head that people don't want to play with you or like you're going to bother people. But usually it's the opposite from my experience. When you're like, yo, do you want to play? Like, mostly everybody's going to say like, yeah, like get in here.
Yeah, but no, I get that. And I understand that, you know, it's kind of crazy almost to think that way because I understand that that's actually not how people, you know, react to that. But it's still anxiety, you know, and anxiety is very unexplainable anyway. And I'm usually the same way, like even, you know, if you've met me at like BlizzCon and stuff, and one-on-one, I'm fine normally, but once you start getting a group that's bigger than like three people, I just kind of chill out in the corner, you know, don't really say
much. It depends on the day. I feel like I'm usually like the opposite. It's weird. But sometimes I'm like that. But sometimes I'm like, if it's in an environment where it's like I am comfortable with, I am the opposite of that. Like at BlizzCon, I'm just talking to everybody all the time, 24/7. But if it's something like, I don't know, like if I get dragged out to something like a club type area or something like that, I'm just like, I don't really do this stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like this
it's all about the social situation. Certain people have different levels of tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also just like half these people are like, I don't know any of them, and I probably don't want to be friends with any of them. But at BlizzCon, it's I want to be friends with everyone because we're all there with similar interests. Yeah. But if I get dragged out somewhere and it's just I know I'm not interested in that thing that everybody's doing here, it's just I will just AFK in my brain. I'll just be like, all right, peace out.
Yeah, I think a lot of it for me is just scared of rejection, stuff like that usually. And I'm just I'll just, sit back here and be cool. And I still have a good time, don't get me wrong. But I think it probably comes across as, oh, he doesn't want to talk to us. Well, that's usually the opposite case.
No one actually thinks that, though. That's the thing. You might be overanalyzing what you're looking at,
Sure.
I bet that 99% of people in most situations don't even notice, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing you got to say, where it's that's the thing that I went through very similar things when I was a little bit younger, and then I recognized, oh, wait, people don't care about that.
Yeah, which is funny, because when I was younger, I was the opposite. Because I used to just chat up all the time. And then what happened, and I'm pretty sure this is what happened, is I started getting made fun of for different things. And it got to the point where it kind of shut me down.
Dang,
I just
probably
didn't want to.
Yeah. You were just born in the wrong time period.
I guess. I really think so.
Now this is you talk about games and stuff, dude.
Right.
You're just a god.
No.
Or something. Like the little kids, dude. The Fortnite movement.
Yeah.
It's I feel that's a legitimate thing.
I got made fun of a lot in school because of my love for Nintendo at the time. I was really into Dungeons and Dragons. So I got made fun of a lot for that. Then even in college, sitting there playing PlayStation, the PlayStation 1 and Nintendo 64 and stuff like that. I used to have people come by my room while I'm playing and be like, why are you playing these games for kindergartners and stuff like that? And I would actually get comments like that. So I was definitely born at the wrong time.
It's definitely the exact opposite. Now I feel like everybody's just playing games and stuff like that. That is weird to think about. And I do feel a lot of times the older generations, they're just that's why they frown upon it. You know, when you see those comments about ESPN broadcasting Overwatch or whatever,
yeah,
and you just see the same things every time. What is this? Why are these nerds playing? Get these nerds off my TV.
Right. And it's funny because my wife and I actually have World of Warcraft hoodies or Blizzard hoodies and stuff like that. And once a week, during the cooler months, once a week we'll always get comments about them, and good comments hey, what server do you play on? It's I haven't played World of Warcraft in 3 years. We'll always get comments about that. And we always have at least one person that will be I bet I'm the first person that, noticed your jersey and said something about it. I'm no, we get comments all the time about this. So
I feel like people were closet nerds back then.
For sure. No, for sure. One of my best friends who still plays D&D with us, when I met him in college, and he was your typical fraternity boy, all about parties, all about girls, all about, thinking games were dumb and all this stuff. And he was totally a closet nerd. And, me and him got hooked on Ultima Online, on MMOs. I got him, into Magic the Gathering. He still plays that. And, We still play Dungeons and Dragons about once a month. And, this is 20-some years later, almost. Not quite 20-some years, but almost.
Yeah.
So, he was... And that's, all of the stuff he's, totally into now. And it's just funny.
It's funny to see how the generational shift happened. Because, I was very big into the fraternity scene and partying in college and everything. But, but to pregame before parties, we would play Beerio Kart. We would go through and you got to drink a beer before you finish the race. Can't drink and drive. And we made it into a competitive sport. I'm not even kidding. We went through, we did Grand Prix where over the period of a night, if we didn't have like a party or something, we would go through, you would pair up with someone, and there are, well, I think, what, 32 races, and you and a partner had to go through, both teams got a 30 rack of beer, and then you had to go through the Grand Prix of like every single race. You had to decide if you or your teammate was going to race, and then you would go through and you would drink on that, and you would be like, okay, you'd be scouting the other teams. Like, it got really competitive, and like we got really into it, where we would do this maybe about every week. We'd have a Grand Prix or so we had a group of maybe about, I don't know, 20 people who would go and do this. It was a lot of fun.
Huh, that sounds awesome and was not my college experience. I wish it was.
Yeah.
Unlucky.
Unlucky.
Let me see if I...
I was in a fraternity, though. I mean, and we did have a lot of fun. And I did meet some of my best friends there. It's just gaming was not a thing. It was a thing, but it wasn't a thing. It wasn't the thing that it is today, for sure.
I made a fraternity. It's called Kappa Pepe PogChamp.
That's
my fraternity.
That's a nice one. I'll have to see if I can join that one.
I think as long as you're subscribed to my Twitch channel, you can. I should do that.
I no longer have any interest whatsoever in this.
All I'm going to say is Prime Day's coming up, baby. July 15th, let's go. That's the one day a year I can post on my Facebook to tell the normies to go subscribe to my Twitch, because they all have Amazon Prime and have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
Just tell all the normies to give me free money, please.
Yeah.
But because that's what it is. It's like, you have Amazon Prime, it's like, you might as well, right?
Right. I try to use my Amazon Prime subscription to give a subscribe to someone on Twitch when I remember to do so.
Yeah, so you can join my fraternity.
Yeah. Do I just have to do it once?
Sure.
Awesome.
Sure.
Just wait for pledging, though.
Oh, man. So anyway, we should probably talk about Hearthstone, but I did like that conversation, to be honest. It was good to talk about that kind of stuff. Danny, since I don't have a sounder, can you do it?
Yeah, sure. End of the news.
Okay. That's not how it goes, but close enough. So first of all, I want to thank the legend of the show, Taco MZ. If you'd like to be a legend of the show or a patron or something like that, just head over patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. The first thing we wanted to talk about is there's a little bit of drama. A little bit of drama on Twitter. And I really like my what I wrote here, because I totally had a typo in our show notes. Hearthstone is hitting a community manager is what I wrote. But it was supposed to be hiring is what it was supposed to say.
I mean, they might be hitting them. We don't know. With the way that they treat them publicly, we don't know.
All right. So as you all know, several months ago, basically Blizzard let go of a whole bunch of community managers, publishers, that whole group basically. And the Hearthstone team was especially hit hard. Like, I know of four community managers that were just completely let go from the Hearthstone team, to the point where I only know of one community manager right now that's on that team. And then he posted, basically retweet that, hey, my team is hiring community managers. And, just a few months later, one of the former community managers was like, WTF. Still doesn't have a job themselves, yet Blizzard is hiring for that position that they let that person go from.
Yeah, I actually talked to that person as well. And it's pretty messed up, too, because I feel like one of the reasons was obviously to make the company look better for the investors.
Yeah, the timing was awful.
But also, I think that when they rehire someone, they're going to hire someone newer so they can put more work on them.
They don't have to pay as much for the same price, right? That's
They don't have to pay as much, but not only that, is they also get to put a workload on them that is probably way more than should be on that person, which is something that they said they, like, the other people who previously worked for them said that, that is what happens. Like, you get these people that are just so excited and almost desperate to be involved in the gaming world or whatever. And like, Blizzard, oh, this is my dream job. Right. So they just, they milk it.
Right. And Blizzard is like the golden standard almost, or used to be. It may not be anymore, but the golden standard for where you'd want to work in community management, like those positions opened up very, very rarely. And they were very highly sought after as kind of almost an entry point into gaming. And especially from people like us that create content. I know that this was a job I would have been very interested in like 10 years ago. In fact, I believe in 2008, or around there, it might have been 2009, 2010, like I had applied for a World of Warcraft community management position. I'm really hoping that I would get that. And of course I didn't. I mean, look at Robert Wing, who, you know, used to work with for BlizzPro. He went over to the Hearthstone team as a community manager. I know several people that work on BlizzPro, who would have jumped at this opportunity, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, but now are like, nope, not gonna do that. But they will get people that would absolutely jump at the opportunity, take like little to no pay even for it, and Blizzard will milk that. They milked it before too, though. But now it just feels scummier.
Yeah, just because you actually see your friends getting fired, and then they open the job slots, and then the new community manager's like, hey, want to work this awesome job with an awesome group of people?
Right.
And then it's just like,
it's just not good timing, and just, I don't know.
I guess it's the world of Activision business.
It's not.
I think that's just corporate business. I don't think that's necessarily Activision. I think that happens all over the place.
100% agreed, Danny. I'm not just sitting here saying like this is a Blizzard only thing. This is definitely a corporate America thing. And it sucks. It's just that I wish that Blizzard was above that, and they're apparently not. I do feel like they were a little bit at one point, but they're definitely not anymore. And that's just the unfortunate truth. But moving on, I just wanted to talk about that because I thought it was interesting. Moving on, though, Blizzard responds to artwork criticism. I think we talked about this a little bit last week where there was some artwork that was changed. Danny, I believe you had stated that you believed it came down to China and some of the stuff over there, and is the reason why they probably did this. But Blizzard clarified something that it's not because of China or any like external force. So I thought that was interesting. They said it came down to, we went back and really, like, this is what Dave Kozak said. We went back and really just brought everything up to our standards. It wasn't because we were looking at ratings or internal or international regulations or anything like that. We really just wanted our artists to feel good about everything in the set. So
I don't know how much to believe on that, but I mean, because Dave Kozak's going to say that as the official PR response, right?
Sure. But I also don't feel like Dave Kozak would say that as like without like believing it either.
No, I do agree, but I bet there are some undertones that are being that are essentially where the catalyst of this. Ultimately, like, it's a very fine explanation that they gave, and I'm not complaining about that. But just completely say that it wasn't for the rating or for whatever. I mean, it's a multifaceted issue. I don't think you can say it's in category A alone or category B. I think there's a combination of things that are involved with it.
I agree, and I think some of it is just the era we're in right now. I don't want to get political or anything on this podcast, but I think that has a lot to do with it as well. And just people kind of looking from within on, you know, how can we maybe not, you know, sexualize things as much And I think that might be some of it too. And they're just wanting to do what they feel is the right thing. I don't know. That's what I think it kind of is. And just I do believe that they didn't have any outside sources that were like, hey, you know, we can't do this because China won't accept it, when obviously it's been in China for the last 6 years, 5 years. I do think it's just, you know, internalized of, you know, we should probably change some things around. And while we're doing that, we might as well go to the old artwork that, you know, might be a little much.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny that people care so much about it.
Yeah, oh, that's like, it's completely irrelevant to the game itself, right?
Yeah, like, I honestly don't care.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't either.
Me either.
Like, to me, I'm just like, who cares? Whatever. Like,
yeah,
the cards didn't change,
right?
So this has no impact on me whatsoever. It's like whether I'm looking at like a deadly shot with, I don't even know what the other artwork was, to be honest. Like somebody getting like actually shot, or like an arrow. It's like, who cares? Or if the eviscerate has blood, it's like, it's whatever to me. It's completely irrelevant.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I saw that whenever I see any kind of art change that they do in this game, like even Heroes of the Storm, where they took like the cigarette out of Tychus's mouth or something like that on his portrait. And I'm just like, meh, okay, cool. They just decided that they wanted to do that, and that's cool. I really don't care. Hearthstone, same. Just don't care. But I'll sit back and just eat popcorn and watch people complain about it.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was just like on Twitter, just like watching all these people. Well, from my point of view, I was only seeing the people talking about the people complaining. I never actually saw the people complaining.
That's true.
Like I know it exists because I saw screenshots or whatever of like Reddit threads or whatever it is, but I don't use Reddit. I don't use any type of forum or whatever. I just use Twitter. So from my point of view, I'm just hearing people complain about people complaining and don't actually see anybody complaining. I'm just like, why does anybody care? Just stop. Just play Hearthstone and enjoy your day. Like, you're wasting your time. Like, this is just a waste of energy.
It's true.
And the people who are complaining about this have nothing else to complain about, right? That's what it comes down to.
I mean, when you're on Reddit, like, complaining about something so irrelevant, like, yeah, so you clearly, like, you need to get a better hobby. I don't know. Yeah. Like, if you're a person listening to this and you're complaining about the artwork, I'm sorry, man, but you need to find a better use of your time.
You need to go play some TFT.
Yeah, play some TFT with the homies. You'll feel a lot better than sitting on Reddit having irrelevant internet arguments with Bobby Cockface 69.
just remember this. Every time that you are on Reddit, or even Twitter, or any social media, Facebook, whatever, and you're sitting there typing it to someone and going, oh, I'm going to get them good with this, and you're going to sit there and argue and they're going to respond and argue back, and then you're going to send back. Just think of how much time of your life you've wasted at that point. You have a finite amount of time in your life. Are you really going to do it to complain on the internet? I don't know. I see it as whatever. As I have a podcast complaining about stuff, so maybe I'm not the best person to listen to. Anyway,
yeah, but at least we complain about relevant stuff, not this.
The stuff we complain about is totally relevant, guys. Not irrelevant like you plebs.
So. Because we say so.
Because we say so. I say that as someone who also has gotten into many fights on Reddit, many fights on Facebook, and has realized very recently in my life that none of that was worth my time, and I just stopped doing it.
I guess that's like people just get into it. Like I don't know. I'm just not one of those people though, so I just don't comprehend it.
Yep. So let's see here. The next item on the news is the global finals have been announced. Everybody knew this was going to happen, but now it's official. Hearthstone announces the global finals are returning to BlizzCon. So Ray, when you go to BlizzCon this year, you will actually have something to watch.
Sort of. Yeah. I get to watch whatever it is they're calling the World Championships.
Yep.
I say it kind of jokingly, but at the same time, it's like, this is not a world championship. This is an invitational. Like, this is Grandmasters who got handpicked. I mean, I think Kibler said it best, where it's just like, people, this is not an attainable goal. Like, usually when you hear world championships, it's like the best player in the world is who wins, right? And obviously, whoever, if somebody wins, like, say, Hunter Ace wins again or something, like, sure, they might be the best player in the world. But what about all the other Hunter Aces that could have came up? Like, imagine if this system was in place before Hunter Ace won all those Masters tours. Hunter Ace wouldn't be a thing. He wouldn't be the world champion last year if Grandmasters had happened a year sooner. So
I think the big thing that I just don't like about this is there's no clear path to get to this. It gets to the point where it's like, for in the past, it used to be, okay, whoever won this, you can trace their path back to where they started from, where it's like, I'm an up and coming Hearthstone player. I want to go and I want to be the world champion. How do I go about doing that? And you can see that for Magic, right? Where it's like, oh, go play in some FNM and then go to a local qualifier and then go up to regional type thing. You can go and trace the path to get to world championship. And if you put the time in, you know your path to get there. Whereas in this, it's like, oh, yeah, there's this path to get to the Masters Tour. And then it kind of just stops off and then it disappears. And then there's this other league that's going on, right? So I don't like that disconnect.
Yeah, it's not that the path is unclear. Like, this year, there is literally no path since there's no relegations. There is no way for anybody except for the 48 handpicked Grandmasters to play in Worlds. And this is what Kibler tweeted. He said, only allowing the 48 handpicked GM players any chance of reaching the World Championships is a huge disservice to the competitive community and undermines the significance of the Masters events throughout the year. I feel like this is a fairly easily solvable problem. Increase the field by 12 or 16 players and invite the top 4 to 8 non-GM players based on Masters results, which you can determine by money earned through Masters tours. So that way you can keep the amateur dream alive. Because what they're selling is, with these Open Cups, is, oh, hey, now the average Joe has time to play. Like, if they can make time for one tournament, they can win and just go on the Masters Tour, and then they can win that and win a bunch of money. But that doesn't even get them to the World Championship. So what dream are they selling? They're selling the dream of becoming a Master Tour champion? Like, what? Like, the dream is to become the World Champion, right? Like,
yeah,
not, like, nobody's going to care about who won Masters Tour Las Vegas it's like, when is relegation even happening? It's like next December, yeah, next or something. Yeah. It's like next year. So it's like, who's going to care about that even next year when there's already going to be like 2 or 3 more that have happened by then? It's kind of like when a new set comes out and then like after 2 weeks, people stop caring. And then like you care about the next set as soon as that one comes out, and then you don't care about the previous one. It's like, it's just, what dream are you selling here with your events? It's almost kind of sad when you think about it that way. There is almost no reason to even go to these Masters Tours when you qualify, outside of the off chance of getting top 4 and profiting off of them monetarily. Right. Like, unless you're getting top 4, you're probably not profiting. Like, even if you get top 8, it's what, like 5k maybe, something like that, 5 to 7k, and it's like, for most people, they're spending $1,000 to $2,000 just to get there. So it's not even that much of a profit, and it's like a whole week's worth of time. It's just all a huge I don't know, it just feels like they need to have some way for like the dream of becoming world champion to be feasible for people who want to be competitive. And right now, that is not a thing. And even the Grandmaster players are just like, this is a joke. Like, even on the Play Hearthstone tweet about it, or I think it was HS Esports, they tweeted about it, and Boar Control commented on it, and he's a Grandmaster, and he said, so this is the global Hearthstone finals of the World Championship. Seems like a stretch to call the winner of an invitational only event the world champion. So yeah, like, even the Grandmasters, like, this, like, if I win this, I'm not gonna feel like a world champion. Like, this is an invitational. It's not like the actual world championship like before. Like when Firebat won the world championships in 2014 or 2015, I think it was 2014. He, in his victory speech, he actively just like crapped on Blizzard having so many invitations. He's just like, yeah, like all these invitations still happen and I still got here and I still won. Like, this is like, you guys need to change this stuff. Like, they had such a big edge back then, streamers and stuff, because they just got directly invited to skip,
right?
Like qualifiers and.
But even at that point, right? Even with, I think that system is even better than this, because you have no chance completely right now. Where it's like, oh, yeah. I would prefer to go back to those days where the grandmasters have. Let's have a tournament where it's open. The world championship is an open event, but you can give the grandmasters like access to the third round in. They don't have to play through the first one or two or whatever, and like they deserve that because they qualified for grandmaster through whatever way, the path they got there. But like, I would be perfectly fine with having some sort of like advanced tier system for these guys to get in a little bit earlier. If it allowed for the normal player to say, hey, I have a path. If I want to dedicate my life to Hearthstone and then go through and become the world champion, I can have a path to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, there's no path. And that's the issue.
I think it's a big issue. One of the other issues, you had mentioned this, is that relegation doesn't happen until next year. And the issue that you run into is that a lot of these guys who are just doing this first season, the first year just doesn't matter of this format, because they're like, yeah, I can go in and not try at all and then like just get ready. And then all right. So next year I'll start trying a little bit, and then just so I don't come in last place. Like, I don't know. It feels really bad to me that a lot of these guys, like, at least there's a pressure on with relegation where it's like, okay, well, if I don't perform to the top of my ability, I could get removed from this system. That's currently not there, and you can see that it's influencing a lot of these players in the amount of effort that they're putting in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's... So do you think it's fair that whoever wins at BlizzCon this year would be crowned the title world champion?
I mean, they're going to get that title. The trophy is the same.
Right, but do you think it's fair that they're going to be called that?
I mean, there's nothing else that could be considered a world championship, so I guess there has to be. Like, whether it's fair or not, I mean, no.
Is there going to be an asterisk next to their name when if we go back and we say, let's say they revert back to HCT changes or whatever next time around, if they were to just do that and then this was going on, does this grandmaster who gets the win essentially have an asterisk next to their name saying, hey, the system was changed and they got essentially an invitational into this? Does that change the prestige of being world champion?
I think it does in the immediate, but it won't in the long run. Like, if you win a game, it's like when the Patriots won, then like Deflategate happened, right? Everybody's like, oh, this is tainted, blah, blah, blah. Like, 2 years, you don't care about that. How many Super Bowls did they win? How many rings does Brady have? It's like, it's still a win, right? At the end of the day, like, once we're past this a year from now, after like the future world championships happen, when they fix everything, you're still going to call that person that won this event at BlizzCon a world champion, because that is what it is. Whether or not it's fair, sure, you can argue that, but it's kind of irrelevant since that's what they're going to be. And that is what it is. I don't know.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. And I mean, it just, I don't know. I feel that it's really bad. The system seems like it's broken and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that we talked about a little bit before the show is also just, and you brought it up, is that just people just don't care. Like, most of the grandmasters, like, actively don't care. MDZX skipped a week of grandmasters to go to, like, we don't actually know what he did, but I think he had, like, a tennis game or something. It's like, they care about, like, this is not a top priority for the majority of the people. And you can just see in the amount that they even play Hearthstone. Like, you look at like Saiyan, Muzzy, any of these people who used to grind ladder like gods nonstop 24/7. haven't even logged into Hearthstone outside of playing their Grandmaster matches. Like,
I think, yeah, I think fundamentally it comes down to you had the risk back in the day to have the have some other person, some unknown person come through, work harder than you, and then get more results than you. And when you're locked into the system where no one can fundamentally use the system to get in and bypass that, you're locked in for a solid 2 years now until you have the potential of even dropping out. Do you care? Just a cash grab at this point where it's like, yeah, I'll show up, I'll play my event, smile for the camera, do the post-show interview, and then I'm done. And then it's like, and then let me collect my check, thank you very much, and then I'm done.
I mean, most of the Grandmasters didn't even go to the Master Store. Like, Firebat wasn't even there. He just didn't. I don't even think he had anything else to do. He just didn't want to go. So,
yeah,
it's just one of those things where I know there was controversy about, like, some people going and stuff, but, like, there are people who didn't go who just didn't care to go because of, like, it's just, it is low EV. It is literally one of the lowest EV. Even though it has a huge prize pool, it is so top heavy that the actual EV is almost not worth it unless you get top four. Like, that is the only time going to a Master Store is worth it, yeah, in terms of, like, the money. So if you're going to it as a Grandmaster, you're missing those days of streaming and you're most likely losing money unless you top four. So it's just never good EV if you think about it from, like, a logical perspective like that, where you don't include the factor of hanging out with friends or, like, any of the social aspects. If you take that away from the equation, it is just never worth it. And the one of the things that I have heard, and this is something, like, apparently they talked about at Blizzard or whatever, like, one reason why they want this to be, like, the World Championship is just, like, the Grandmasters, is because they don't want a non-Grandmaster winning the World Championship. Like, they want to promote, like, this Grandmaster thing so hard that if they allowed, I think I saw it on one of Kipler's threads about it, and it was like, if they allowed people that weren't Grandmasters to qualify for this Invitational through Masters Tour points, and then that person ended up winning, a non-Grandmaster would have won this, like, World Championship thing that they did. And apparently that would, like, look worse somehow.
Oh, yeah, it would look horrible, because, I mean, we would be bashing that. We'd be, like, saying, hey, these guys were handpicked as the best players, and then some average Joe comes up, works harder than them, and essentially you just prove that the system is busted with that. I mean, the system sucks. I was talking about this before the show, and I led into a question that I posed to Ray, and I'm like, this just sucks so much. The whole system, I don't care as the individual who's watching this. They've been going on this whole Grandmasters League. I haven't watched. I've like caught a little bit here and there when I'm not doing anything, but I'm not going out of my way like I would with HGT tournaments to go see, oh, they're playing right now. Let's see who's playing. Let's see what's going on. I am not invested in this at all. Neither and the whole system is screwed up. Like, it's got to the point where it's like, yeah, okay, so these same guys are competing for something. I don't really care. I don't know who's ranked. I don't care. So ultimately,
also, there's, like, no, like, excitement around if this person won over this person. It's like, meh. There's no, like, path to. I mean, I know that there's a path through the playoffs and all that stuff, but it's just like, eh.
I mean, the last week of the Grandmasters. Only had 10k to 15k viewers most of the time, which is, to me, like, that is supposed to be the highest, like, the most important week is, like, the last week. Who's gonna make playoffs? There was a lot of tiebreaker shenanigans happening that in theory should have been exciting, but in practice was actually just, like, nobody cared, and it got no viewers, like, compared to something like a tour stop.
When Crypt stream has more viewers than your, like, final week, you know something's wrong.
And Crypt was streaming TFT.
Yeah, that was really funny.
like, and all the Grandmasters are actively just not playing Hearthstone and not streaming Hearthstone. And that is also hilarious. I saw, like, Eddie made playoffs or whatever, and he's like, okay, maybe I think I need to uninstall League of Legends right now so I can try to force myself to play Hearthstone. Because that's how little the Grandmasters players actually are playing Hearthstone. Like, they have to force themselves to do it. They're not excited. well, I'm not speaking, I guess I shouldn't speak for everyone else, but from what I've seen on Twitter, majority of people are actively playing other games. Like, Fino's constantly tweeting about Underlords and Auto Chess and TFT, and he hasn't done any of those streamed, like, oh, let's stream this matchup thing, and like all that fun stuff. Stan hasn't done a Watchstone in like since Ladder stopped mattering. It's just nobody seems to really care anymore, and that's the huge issue. You have to get them to care, which means you have to bring back Ladder mattering, and you have to make people, I don't want to say like make them feel like they have to play to like survive, but like you have to,
people want to play your game. That's ultimately what it is. It seems like to me, ultimately, what this system has done for these players in particular, it's turned Hearthstone into a chore for them. It's where it's like, okay, I can do my normal day, and then all right, I gotta stop, play a Hearthstone tournament, and then like come back. Like, it seems like it's not something that they're striving to work towards. It's not a goal. It's not a game. It's more or less, oh, yeah, okay, this is what I'm doing to pay the bills, and then I go to do what I'll play my secondary game that I've been playing rather than this. And, like, I don't know. It feels like a lot of people are really just you're losing a lot of your audience as a Hearthstone playing game when your biggest content creators are just not caring enough to continually play your game.
Yeah.
I appreciate the job security aspect of it, but at the same time, when you have no reason to play the game, I don't think that most of these people have the discipline to continue playing when there's just nothing on the line. Like, that's the problem I'm struggling with right now, is like, why would I play Hearthstone over another game when playing Hearthstone gets me nothing? Like, what am I playing for? I'm playing to hone my skills for what tournament? There's not another tournament in the US all year. I don't want to go to Korea. I mean, it's just, there's literally no reason to play. So the Grandmasters are probably feeling the same way. It's just like, okay, these Grandmaster matches actually don't matter. Like, the difference of getting an extra $500 might matter to some people, but for the majority of them, it's probably not actually that relevant.
It's kind of funny because there's this weird disconnect happening where the development team is absolutely 100% on point with what they're doing with Hearthstone right now.
Oh, yeah. No, they're in their prime right now. This is a very good place to be. The upcoming set is one of the best, most thematic. It looks really exciting. I am very excited for this next set to come out and play with all the new stuff, but it's not being reflected at all in the competitive scene.
Right. 100%. Yeah, it's like the development team is nailing it. The esports team is sitting over there like they have some sticks that they're banging around and they're accidentally like punching themselves in the nuts. Like, they have no idea what they're doing. Like, that's what it feels like. That's really what it feels like. And I feel like a lot of that, though, is reflected because of the layoffs that Blizzard had and the budget cuts that Blizzard had this year, because they got rid of a bunch of the people that were behind HCT. Replaced them with whoever the hell these people are that created this monster. The idea of creating this monster was to increase viewership because that's what mattered to them. That's what mattered because you could quantify numbers.
And it's backfiring. We can just clearly see it's backfiring. They're not getting the numbers.
Well, okay, here's the other argument, though, is that I was talking to Firebat about this, and it's like they are getting the number. They're actually getting higher numbers than before when they were doing the tour stops, because the Grandmasters are effectively, even though it's only 10,000 viewers, it's on for almost 24 hours straight, and they're paying everybody working on it peanuts. So in actuality, the number that they present, not necessarily sponsors, but like shareholders and whatever, is like time watched. So like when you go and you look at ads, right, it's what is it called? What is it like per second or something? Like there's like the ratio is called something. Like if this many people see this ad, you get paid this amount. So even though it's 10 times less people, if the amount of time that those people are seeing the ad is like what a tour stop would last maybe 5 to 8 hours a day of broadcast time, whereas this is almost 24 hours, it's like at least three times more broadcast time. So those people are seeing those ads they're watching, they have 10,000 eyes. They might have 3 or 4 times less viewers, but they have it for 3 times the amount of time.
So it, looks more successful on paper.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue that it is more successful if that is their goal. They're not getting more people interested, and most of the people that are tuning in are probably not even watching, because the chat is non-existent. And it's kind of like when you go and like somebody hosts you and you get like a bunch of viewers, but the chat doesn't change because nobody's actually in the chat. You just get like all the AFK people from like a big streamer or something. Like when Crip used to host Cydonia or whatever, even though his numbers would show like 10K viewers, there was still nobody in the, nobody was actually watching it. It was just all the people that fell asleep on or just had Crip stream open.
Yeah. It's like it's like my YouTube channel, which has about 20,000 subscribers, and I'll put out a video and I'll get one comment, and it's usually somebody trying to be racist. So that's kind of what it's like.
Oh, yeah. Like you have a lot of subscribers, but like nobody actually watches it anymore.
Right. Right. that's okay. What it feels like.
Yeah.
So it depends what you're going for. Like, I feel like it is successful to them. And that's what Fireman was saying.
I think in perpetuity, it's not going to be successful for the long run. I think that fundamentally this is broken. And I mean, we were talking about this before the show, but I posed the question to Ray, if we became the esports team, if the three of us were now all of a sudden put into the role of the esports team, how do we go through and change this system so that it's A, more accessible to new players, and then B, it gets more attention and people actually get invested in it?
Yeah.
Well, first, before I answer that, I do want to say, like, do they care? Like, if it is successful in their eyes in terms of their metric that they want to increase or be at a certain threshold, do they care that their viewership isn't spiking if it's getting watch time? That's what I don't know.
Yeah, that is a good question. And I fundamentally, we're not going to know that answer because that's internal Blizzard and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, they're going to care and they're going to be like, yeah, well, at least they'll look at the metric of the number of peak viewers, right? And they'll go through and say, oh my God, there was 100,000 viewers when we had X event before, and we're only getting 10,000 before.
According to Raven and Firebat and a bunch of other people who were talking about this openly in the public Discord, that is not, like, that doesn't matter to them. It's all about time watched.
Yeah. Well, you're also trying to frame whatever. If you're working on this team, you don't want to essentially showcase your negatives. You want to showcase your positives. So you look at the metrics that look the best so that you can showcase that. That's something where it's like, if you're ever working on a project and someone asks you for like status on the project, you're going to go through and give them good news. Yeah, we're doing a great job. And here's how we show it. And then you show your best statistic. You don't show them the statistic that's declining, right? You don't go show them your dirty laundry. So ultimately, I think that while it might look good on the surface, and then you can go to your shareholders and say, hey, here's all this great stuff that's going on, there are some other issues that are fundamentally there. And I think that this is something that Blizzard, I think that if they don't address this, you can potentially lose a lot of people. I think that ultimately this is starting the great decline. This is the start of the great decline, the beginning of the end.
As far as competitive.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I think that this may fundamentally change Hearthstone as a game. Whereas, like, for the past 2 years that I've been on this podcast, I've been able to go through and just watch, like, watching competitive Hearthstone is not something that I do anymore. Like, I used to be really excited to go through and see the HET tours and all this stuff. Like, I get revved up for a weekend when people were playing and there were stakes on the line. At this point, it's like, I don't care.
I'm coming from the standpoint that I never really cared. So I'll sit there and watch it every once in a while, and I'll usually watch the World Championship. But for the most part, throughout the years, I never paid attention to competitive Hearthstone, like watching on Twitch or anything like that. Like, I am paying probably a little bit less attention to Grandmasters than I would have paid attention to HCT, but it's not that much less. Like, it doesn't change the game for me. It doesn't make the game more enjoyable. It doesn't make the game less enjoyable. It's just a thing that I honestly don't really care about. but at the same time, so I feel like I'm probably the majority of the people that play Hearthstone in that regard. I don't think you have them, obviously, because there's millions of people that play Hearthstone, or at least did, and might still be, that were never even paid attention to what was going on in the esports scene. Esports is still, I feel, a very niche thing, to a certain degree. With that said, so you asked the question earlier about what I would change to make this league better. And I feel like the best thing that they could do is still go with the idea that they invited these people up front, but divided it up into seasons. Let's say like 4 seasons, and kind of similar to what they had before with HCT. But then have 2 leagues of people that are invited. And you've got the top tier, the Grandmaster League, and then you have the Masters League. And these are all invited people. And each season, someone can get dropped, or multiple people, like take the bottom third, I don't care, or however many you want, and they get dropped down to the Masters League, and the people that did really well in the Masters League the next season get brought up to the Grandmasters League. And
so you at least have a path there, because it's so, like, how do you get into the Masters
bracket, yeah, and this right? is what I was going to get into is then in the Masters League, there's going to be, drop the top, the bottom, 20% maybe, or something like that. And then you have your open cups and things like that as a way to get into the Masters League or the tournaments that you have there, or maybe even the Masters tournament like they had in Vegas. And maybe the people that succeeded through that get invited then into the Masters League. And so, like, they'll have a big tournament. They get invited into the Masters League. Now you have a path all the way up, because I can participate in the open cups. I can see a path that if I do really well in the open cups, I can potentially make it into the Masters League. If I'm successful in the Masters League, I can make it all the way to the top. And if I'm not successful in the Grandmasters League, I'm not successful. I'm not the best of the best. I drop and make it season by season by season and have 4 seasons in a year.
I think that definitely shorting it and having the promotion cycle quicker is something that could be very beneficial to this, right? Where it really matters to do well in this. I think that fundamentally there are no stakes on the line. And I think that is one of the biggest flaws of this system, at least for the first year. And then waiting a full year to go through and do that, like, it just feels like it's taking way too long. I do really like the concept of having it quarterly or whatever. So you have a potential to get into the system and or get dropped if you're not doing well based off that. I think that's a very good way to do it.
And if you're not doing well, you still have a path to get back in.
Yeah. You're not just dropped and then never to return. Yeah.
Right.
I think one thing, like, I agree with everything you guys said, like kind of having a semi-pro league is obviously something that everybody wants and would advocate for. I also think something like not making the prizes so consistent. Like, if you're getting $500 to $1,000 every game, what reason do you have to really care about the game when you're getting paid either way? I think they should have done it based off of placement in your group, like overall. Like, I think, like, if last place got like peanuts, they would try very hard to not be last place, right? Like, obviously they should get something, right? But if you made it based off of your placement, if the prizing actually scaled better, I think people would care a lot more about winning those games, and they would make it a priority to do well and not just kind of flop or actively just not care at all and kind of flaunt that they don't care, which that's the weirdest thing to me, is like when your grandmasters are just actively saying like, haha, like this is a joke, like that doesn't look too good. But and if I you make the pricing based off of your placing, and I feel like that would make people care at least a little bit more. Yeah. On top of everything you guys said, obviously that's the main thing, right? Is having more relegation, more semi-pro competition, more of a way to make the system actually accessible to other people besides the people who were the 48 people that got picked.
Yeah, and you know, you have to start somewhere, so you have to pick those people up front, regardless.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that they had to do that. I think that's fine, that's inevitable, it is what it is, but ultimately, as long as like you have your initial batch of people, great. Now let's make these guys prove that they deserve that spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what this league is missing right now. That there's no path to get there, and there's no consequences if you don't do well. So like at the end of the day, because of that, this is what happens. No one cares. The viewers don't care. The participants don't care. There's no incentive. There's no incentive whatsoever. And you have people on the outside wondering, why do these 48 people get in? How can I have some of this? Why are you guys so lucky and don't care? And it's because of the system. Like, there's no incentive to care.
And even with the, like, this last week not having that much attention on it being the final week, if people were up for essentially elimination from this league, I would have tuned in and been really excited, because it's like, oh my God, this person's playing for their life. They're trying to play, they're playing to stay in this tournament. And then the stakes are so much higher at that point, where I can understand if they want some sort of stability, that would be their argument against this. But ultimately, I don't think that this, I mean, I think that you can set it up so the system is stable enough that, I mean, like bottom 20% get bounced. And then it's like, hey, you can say your top 80%, that's fairly stable. And but ultimately, it comes down to when people are playing for that match, where it's like, I'm not necessarily caring about the people in the top half. It's like, I'm looking for, all right, who's going to go to retention, who's going to stay through, and who's going to get bounced. Like, that's very interesting Hearthstone. And then it comes down to, okay, well, what happened with that?
And then you have built-in storylines because of that, right? Because you've got built-in, and everybody, and if sports has taught me anything, everybody loves an underdog, and now you are bringing in the potential underdogs who can come in and make a run for it, and people are going to cheer for that underdog. You know, you see it. You see it in the Sweet 16 every year in college basketball. People rooting for those Cinderella teams that make it to the Sweet 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and people, and those stories end up being the biggest stories when they make it.
So here's like the alternative route that I would actually prefer to see Grandmasters go, is to do it by team. So most franchised things in general are team based, and Hearthstone being a single player game can still be team based, like Trinity Series was. You just would have to have teams like they did for Trinity Series. I think if you made it like that, it would give the players much more security, in the sense that they get an organization to back them, and then the orgs have to pay into, kind of like what they do with the Overwatch League, the orgs have to pay into the league, and then they pay the players a certain amount of salary, whatever, because Blizzard gives them the money, or Blizzard just gives them, it doesn't really matter how it works. But if they made it team-based, I think that that would make it more exciting, because then you would have interaction with your teammates and stuff. It would be like, there'd be more rivalries, like, oh, Cloud9 is playing against TSM. And then you'd have that. You'd have those legacy brands that already exist in esports. And then you would just, that's what happens with everything. Like, any new esport that comes up, like, if TFT has esports and the big esports teams pick up players, and then those teams already have rivalries because of other games, that will still transfer to this game or whatever game it is, if it's, like, team versus team. And then they also get a fan base. Like, if you have people like Bloody Faith, I mean, they are on a team, but the team aspect of it is irrelevant in Hearthstone right now. Doesn't really, like, play a factor. But if you have, like, team, I guess this team is Lazarus or whatever, you have team Lazarus versus them, then the team can be like, oh, come watch our Hearthstone team play against Cloud9. Like, we're the underdogs. Come see us, like, beat the big, bad esports team with millions of dollars. Like, that would be way more exciting, I think, from a casual perspective, who are fans of, like, are already fans of, like, the bigger esports teams. than just having a player try to brand themselves. Like, Blizzard is trying to make these players stream and create content and create a name for themselves and kind of create their own brand, when that completely backfired, in my opinion. None of the players care. None of the players are doing any of the things that ideally Blizzard wants them to do. They just, none of these players are making a brand for themselves. They're not even trying. Yeah. No offense if you're a player in Grandmasters and you're listening to this somehow, and like, you know, you're not trying to make a brand. I don't even care. Like, unless you're actively streaming and making content and stuff, and I'm guilty of this as well, by the way. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. That is something I definitely need to improve on. But I'm not in Grandmasters, right? Like, I'm not, like, Blizzard doesn't expect me to create a brand, get a following, and then have people tune in to watch me play, which is what they expect for these Grandmasters players. It's not their fault either. Like, Blizzard isn't giving them anything aside from, like, some course they had at the Grandmasters Summit and, like, a green screen and a, like, webcam laptop thing. It's like, like, sure, you could give me a toolkit, but that doesn't mean I'm going to build a house, right? Like, you can give me all the materials to build the house and a toolkit and everything. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I still don't know how to do it.
Right.
Like, you can tell me how to do it. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it or still understand it or comprehend it.
Especially for something that is so arbitrary.
And that's where I think, like,
especially when there's nothing related to it, where it's like, hey, you can build a following if you want or not, right? Like, it's not like, it's not like there's anything connected to it.
I mean, there would be if they had the support of an organization, though, in my opinion. I think
that would
go a long way to helping them. And then they would also get fans of that organization more involved in watching, because now it's team versus team. It's like, why, even though people are on a team, like, why should fans of that team care about this player? It's not like it's the team playing. It's that person who's on the team.
Right.
Like, why would they care about that one person?
Yeah. So I kind of agree with you that teams would be interesting for this and go a long ways. I don't feel like, so when I was talking about my scenario, I feel like this is just a person on a team playing against another person that's possibly on a team, right? And I would like to see Hearthstone pay more attention to who's on a team, because it helps the team get their name out there for obvious reasons, which also helps them be able to sell or to go to advertise or to go to sponsors and be able to get that sponsorship money for that team, right? That helps a lot if Hearthstone, Blizzard would do more of that. And then I don't know if you integrate that, I don't know if you integrate the whole team-based thing in the scenario I said. I think instead you have side events that are looking at team-based stuff.
Like, and show matches?
And making teams relevant there.
But then, like, there's too many, like, people, like, teams as, like, one player in Grandmasters or something. Like,
right.
That, like, you'd have to implement it as a whole thing. And I think it would be more interesting as well, because then you'd have, like, players talking to each other and you'd get to hear the comms.
Well, they had that really cool idea where they were rewarding teams for doing really well at things, and then they did nothing with it.
That was originally, it was going to transition into, like, Grandmasters was originally supposed to be like Trinity Series. And that was the start of it, was like, they were originally going to do that. So they got all, like, they contacted all these teams and they were like, we're going to do this. And it's like, Grandmasters was originally going to be like a Trinity Series thing. And then, like, all the changes happened and they were like, oh crap, we already, like, promised these teams that, like, we were doing something. Okay, let's just, like, make this awkward thing and then get rid of it immediately after.
Right.
And then do what, like, we're actually going to do, because now our budget just got shredded.
Yeah. But my main point is, I don't want, in my scenario, I wouldn't want people entering in to try to be forced to be on a team if they don't want to, potentially, or they're just not able to get on a team for whatever reason. That's the only thing that I would, because at the end of the day, Hearthstone is an individual one-on-one thing.
I think that's kind of silly. Like, that's like saying if you're like a NFL player, like, oh, I don't want to get on it. I don't want to be like, I don't know. That's kind of weird. Like, I get that it's a one-on-one thing, but not wanting to be on a team is kind of like a weird. Oh, well, like it could even be made up teams, like a Blizzard made up Blizzard team, like they do with Overwatch.
Sure, that's fine. Something like that. If Blizzard was in charge of the team, sure. But now, you're getting into situations where it. I don't know. It just doesn't work out 100% in my head, but I get the sentiment. I get where you're going with it. Anyway, we had some emails this week, so I wanted to get into those. And what's funny is the first email here that we had was from our good friend Michael McGonigal, a.k.a. Mac Daddy Guns, who's a Patreon supporter. And he says, "Hi, lads. Now that we..." This is a funny email considering what we just talked about, guys. "Hi, lads. Now that we are a couple months into the 2019 competitive Hearthstone year, what are your thoughts on the health of the 2019 competitive Hearthstone scene? In your opinions, are we in a better or worse position in comparison to how it was under last year's HCT system with Conquest being the game mode? I would love to hear your thoughts from both the competitor's perspective as well as the viewer's perspective. Keep up the great work." Okay, just listen to the last 20, 30 minutes of the podcast. I think we've answered that already, guys.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I did want to read his email.
Well, what do you guys think? I think Conquest would be significantly better as well. Like that is one piece of his email.
I do 100% agree with that, yeah.
I absolutely hate seeing the same deck three times in a row, even if there's, like, slight changes or whatever. It's a control warrior mirror three times in a row is still a control warrior mirror three times in a row. It's grueling, it's miserable, and I don't think many people actually enjoy it.
See, and I was on the opposite end of that because I thought the specialist format was really cool. I'm like, okay, I understand this. This is similar to Magic Gathering. We got sideboards. I've been advocating for this because I think it makes sense to me. And then I saw it played, and I'm like, never mind, I was wrong.
Yeah, this seems to me, we had a thing in the Wild Hearthstone community where we tried out the strike format. It seems like this is just a novelty to me, this type of format, where, like, Conquest or LHS, like, when you're playing with multiple decks, you have to go through, have multiple strategies, build a lineup, and that whole process is taken out of this, where it's like, now all you're doing is, oh, I'll just build a deck that the best deck in the meta is, but... I don't know. I feel that this really takes away from the competitive experience, where at least part of it, where part of the thing, even if I'm not really super involved with it, is like, oh, let's look at how these guys design their lineup. And they go through, like, now I'm just like, oh, let's see how this guy built his deck and put in the tech cards for the other decks. Like, I don't know. It really detracts from the experience for me.
Yeah.
There's a, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of strategy that goes into lineups for specialists. Like, they're, you can say there is, but, like, compared to Conquest, really there's just not. Like, your sideboard plans are pretty straightforward. You have, like, an anti X popular deck sideboard, and then an anti X popular deck sideboard, and then, or Y, whatever, and then you have your primary deck, which is going to be, like, generally an overall good deck. People were thinking, oh, well, you could have, like, a weird primary deck and then go into, like, this whole other deck. Oh, my voice kind of cracked there, but ignore that. Like, with Druid, you could have, like, Togwaggle Druid, and then, like, a weird Togwaggle Druid as your main deck, and then you could side into, like, a Hakkar Druid, and then blah blah. Like, none of that happened. That's all, like, all those, like, weird strategies people were talking about, and how you could completely change decks in five cards. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
And people who tried to do it, it's just too inconsistent and bad.
Also, congrats on hitting puberty there, Ray.
Thank you.
Young it. Ray has become real Ray.
Yeah.
Jokes. Young Ray was actually just me, like, 5 weeks ago.
Exactly. No, I think we're all pretty much in agreement on that. We had a second email. This one's from James Blonde. And I thought this was a interesting email. Can you guys talk about emote etiquette? I almost always greet at the beginning of a match and well played at the end, regardless of who won. And of course, I mute spammers. I've noticed a lot of players greet right before they win. Is this BM? Are they saying goodbye? Can't figure it out. Thanks for the consistently good show.
Well, I think that it's sometimes very fun to, like, revel in the fact that, like, you got lucky, or you're like taking a jab at your opponent for fun. Like, usually if somebody's greeting you at the end of a game, they're probably just trying to be an ass, but sometimes that's fun. Like, I have a very thick skin and I find that funny most of the time. But if somebody's spamming emotes, they're just being a dick. Like, if you're spamming emotes, like if somebody's spamming like well played or they're spamming something, then that is bad etiquette. But outside of that, it's whatever. Like, if you have like a crazy Yogg-Saron back in the day, and then you just greet your opponent because you won off of like an insane Yogg-Saron just to kind of jab at them, I think that's fine. That's just all in good fun, in my opinion. Or when back in the day, like I was at a tournament and Amnesiac played patches on turn one, like from his hand, and I greeted him, and he just like he got tilted off the face of the earth, and I thought that was hilarious to me. And I like, if somebody did that to me, which has actually happened in a tournament where like they'll play Wild Growth on two and then they'll greet me, like, and I will be also druid and I will not play Wild Growth on turn two, and I'll just be like, yeah, you got me, you're the better druid player. Or like if I play patches on turn one, get greeted, it's just like, yeah, I know, that was a big misplay, my bad guy. It's just like, to me, it's all in good fun. Like, it is somewhat, like, most people will take it as BM, but personally, it's whatever. I don't think it is. I think the only thing that's really BM is spamming emotes and, like, roping and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately the only thing that's really bad mannered. If you're ever roping or if you're just going through and just jamming the emote. But, I mean, fundamentally, like, I don't like squelching people because maybe one out of every 100 games, someone gives away information from their emoting. So, like, you can definitely gain information based off of a person's emote once in a while. So, that's something that you should definitely keep in mind.
What is information you gain from their emote?
You can go through, right? Yeah, sure. So, let's say someone goes through and I have a bunch of minions and I start playing a bunch of minions onto the board up against my mage opponent and they greet me. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, they probably have a flame strike or something. Mm. So maybe I don't play the next minion or whatever. And then, so, I mean, there are certain situations where it could happen like that. It has happened to me in the past.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I've gone through and done that with opponents. You can definitely game the emotes where it's like, you know, if you greet someone at the end of the game, you probably won the game. So let's say I don't have lethal, but like I go in and I emote my opponent and then all of a sudden they'll just concede out of nowhere because they've been habitually trained to people greeting them as like, I've done this where I have an Earthen Ring Farseer in my hand as a warlock, but it's like I could have Dark Bomb and I point it at their face and then I greet them and they concede. So it's gaming the system a little bit there, but you go through and emotes actually do play a little bit in tactically into the game. I think that there is a bit of an aspect on that where maybe not so much anymore because there's really not much of a tactical edge that you can get, but there's a tiny edge you can get with
interesting.
That.
I actually talked about this a long, long time ago when Patron was a thing. Like when you go off with Patron, and like there'd be times where I didn't have lethal and I would just do a bunch of stuff and I would just like greet them and then people would just concede, and that happened so many times where I just did not actually have the lethal with like Warsong Commander, Patron, Frothing Berserker Shenanigans, but they would just concede because they're just like, oh, like I hate this, like, all right, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and then some people, I think I talked about it on Reddit or something, and people, this is a long time ago, I've used Reddit like maybe 4 or 5 times to make posts, and that was one of them. And it was like in an article, like it was in like a guide type thing that I wrote. And people think that is somehow like deceivingly, like, I mean, it is deceiving, but they think it's like bad or immoral or something. I'm just,
that's a self-imposed rule that people are putting in on the game. And I mean, fundamentally, there's the aspect too, where if you're letting this go and affect you, like that influences your gameplay. This is something that happens in Wild, where if I know that emoting is going to upset you as a player, if I win the game and I'm because it's Wild and I will re-queue into you again, you're going to be tilted in the next game and maybe you make a misplay because of it. So of course, I think that ultimately, if you're trying to play to your max potential, making that jab in there, maybe not so hostily or whatever, but just to put it out there, Ultimately, if your opponent gets pissed off and then makes a misplay because you emoted, you just use the game, you metagame the game itself.
Yeah, and they can squelch you. Like, that is an option. Right? Like, if they're going to just actively sit there and be mad about something so silly, like, that's on them. And yeah. I actually remember what it was from. It was, like, from a post about open cups that I wrote a while ago. And then I also talked about, like, how I always take the free win if I say, like, screenshots or whatever. Back in the day, you used to have to not submit deck lists, and you used to have screenshots to make sure they're playing the right class and they're not cheating. And then somebody would accidentally have, double of one class or like a wrong class or something like that, and you'd get them a game loss. Even nowadays, there are still some things like if they have a wrong card or something, get them a game loss. You always take the free win. Like, in my opinion, always take the free win, always emote if you know that's going to tilt them. At the end of the day, like, you're playing to win. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe just get the competitive. No, that's just getting a competitive edge. I think that's like you said, that's playing to win. You're getting the competitive advantage through the client. There's nothing wrong with using the tools that are given to you, right? I think that there are certain lines that can be crossed, like roping and excessively emoting. Like, there are some common decency things that you can do there, but ultimately, like, if the tools are there, why not use it?
Yeah. I mean, the other aspect is like public image or whatever, which is a real thing. Like, if I play against Firebat and I take the free win and he roasts me on Twitter, you're effectively screwed. And that is messed up to me. I just learned that, like, I'm not saying he would do that, but like, in this game, in this scene, people are much softer compared to other competitive scenes that I have that I've been a part of. It just feels like everybody takes offense to everything.
Yeah.
And
I think it's due to the lack of human interaction. I think that it's because you're not sitting across from an actual person and you're just doing it over your computer that this is happening, because it's not a person that's doing it to you. It's some guy on the internet, even if it's like a well-known person on the internet, like it's someone it's happening through a screen. So it's kind of like the effect where people go and complain on Twitter, right? Where normally you wouldn't say something in real life. I think it's the same effect here.
Yeah. I mean, even in like Pokemon, when I played that a lot, like once you get closer, like I naturally would play slower if I knew I was going to win a match. There were matchups that you would win by going to time. Like, you'd win game one, game two wouldn't finish. You would just naturally play slower. Like, you would just have a slower pace of play when you were playing that deck. And as long as you're not changing your pace of play, like as long as you're not playing fast and then playing slow, it's within the rules. Like, you have a certain amount of time per turn to complete your actions, and people would just get pissed because they'd know that they're going to lose on time. And that was honestly just the game plan. So,
I mean, that has its own, it has an analog in Hearthstone where you used to have, when ladder mattered, you would have the rope cues where you would go through and try to get that last rank.
Yeah, but like people, like there were certain people in Pokemon that would be like, oh, playing slower, like that's like a scummy game plan or something. Like, but in reality, after, like, if you're going to win, you're going to win. Like, if you win the world championships because you're playing a deck that like uses a strategy that requires you to change your pace of play, not during the game, but like overall, then like a year later, like I said, you're still going to be the world champion, right? Nobody's going to care about that anymore a year later. Just like with the Grandmasters thing, and just like with Open Cups, unless you're playing somebody who's going to publicly out you on Twitter and destroy your reputation somehow, which I don't even think, like, it shouldn't be possible, because I think
you could back it up too, but... right? I think that even if someone goes and roasts you on this stuff on Twitter, right, you just go in and say, hey, this is within the rules of the game. Essentially, as long as you can back it up by saying, hey, I did what is within the rules of the game. I did not cheat. I did not break any rules. Competitive integrity is there.
That's how you would think normal people would react, but that's not actually how it works. It's just this person has a massive fan base and they're calling you out, and now their fan base is attacking you.
Yeah, I mean, like, that does happen. But I mean, fundamentally, like, if you lose a game, right, if you beat someone fair and square without any of these things happening, and the person gets pissed off for whatever reason, they can do the same exact thing. And then the fan base is going to do the same. They're still going to come at you. I don't think that specifically your tactics of play should come into question.
It's more like the free win thing. Like, if I'm playing against a well-known player and I take a free win off of them, and then they go post about that on Twitter or something, then like that would, like, I would not take a free win against a person with significantly more followers than me on Twitter, because I would not want to have to deal with that. But it is worth it for like a smaller person who can't, who doesn't have that influence. It's really messed up, when in reality you should be taking the W's every single time, no matter what. But I don't know. There are like some situations like that where you actually have to reconsider. But yeah, yeah. I would try
to take the W anyway. And then when if they flame me, that's, any news is good news, right?
I mean, that's also true. Like, it just depends what mood I'm in, actually. I think it just depends. I never really experienced it where like a good player was like dumb enough to have a decklist issue or something like that. But if it did come up, I think it would depend what mood I'm in. If I'm in a fighting mood, I'll take the W. Who knows? Oh, I wish that had come up now, just so I could see what I would have done.
All right. Yeah. So as for me, talking about emote etiquette, and this turned into a whole nother conversation. For me, I just literally just, if someone greets me, I'll greet back. If at the end of the match, they say well played, knowing that I'm gonna win, I'll say well played back. But if they say well played when they win, I usually don't see it, because I've usually already have squelched them. I've usually just squelched them at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that functionality is in the game too. If you know that you're going to get tilted by these emotes and everything, then just go in and squelch the person. That's one of the things. There's actually I'm not sure if it's an add-on or if it's a base functionality of the deck tracker, but there's an auto squelch feature that the deck tracker has as a plugin, or just like a feature you can turn on. So just, I mean, if you really just don't, if you're having issues with that, then just squelch your opponent.
Yep. And for me, I'm just like, if someone greets me, I'll greet back. And that's usually about the extent of what I do with emotes, to be honest. I'm usually not the instigator or anything. And I'll usually just
I'm an instigator. Dominus, I love it. I love it when people get mad over stupid things. It is so entertaining to me, and I don't know why. Maybe I'm just terrible. But
usually don't get mad. I don't get mad. I'm just like, all right, yeah, that's cool. And I move on to the next game, and I'm like, yeah, okay. There's no reason to do that, but it's whatever. At the same time, I'll just squelch them, just because I'm just like, yeah, there's no reason I need to see that either. So,
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's time to get out of here. And this is normally where I'd be playing awesome music behind the scenes. We're not going to sing music at this point either. Let's get out of here, guys. So, first of all, I wanted to give a big thanks to Brad S. He was a patron that joined us the week before last, and I forgot to say his name last week. So if you want to be like Brad and join our Patreon, just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. There's a few different tiers. $2 a month, I believe, will get you the extra hours of magic on the episode, where you get the pre-show and a little bit of the post-show. It's usually an extra 30 to 45 minutes of content, guys, that we put on there. And what's cool is you can actually, if you become a patron, and you can actually add that to your RSS feed. So you can get those shows to your RSS feed. There is an RSS feed thing, so you can get it on your favorite podcast apps that way. So just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. iTunes reviews, if you want to leave a review over there. Just head over to iTunes, do a search for Hearthstone, and you'll find WellMet there. Leave a 5-star review, and we'll read on next week's show. Or you can also find us over on Spotify. You can find us on Google Podcasts. I have no idea how those review systems work, even if there is one. I don't think there is. But iTunes is the place to do that, which is going away sometime soon and becoming Apple Podcasts. So who knows how long I'm going to be keeping this on at the end of the show. Also, if you want to email us, wellmet@blizzpro.com, We love getting your emails. I'm glad that we had a couple this week, because I was definitely afraid that we didn't have anything to talk about. Because honestly, there wasn't a lot of news this week. That should be ramping up starting next week, though, I believe. Now that we're
when does
start,
reveal season start?
I would imagine in the next 2 weeks. So
I think it's one of the dumbest things that Hearthstone does. Having this, we're announcing the expansion, and then they wait 2 weeks, and then they start revealing cards.
Right.
I don't know. I find that dumb.
I give them a pass this week just because of the holiday and people.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
All that. So. But beyond that, shout outs and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to all of the who put up $5 for the sticker.
Oh, yeah.
I am really excited to see all the pictures, and I hope that you guys tweet at us once you get them. Shout outs to TFT for keeping me occupied while Hearthstone has had a little bit of a lull. And you can find me at twitch.tv/RayC591 and on Twitter at PG_RayC. Yeah.
Awesome. Danny, how about you?
So this week, I think I'm going to go back to the throwback. I would like to give my shout out this week again to the Battlefy PR team. There was a really good article that came out about a hit piece on what happened and the whole story and how everything went down. They're continuing to screw it up. So this saga continues. So thank you, Battlefy, for keeping my popcorn, me with popcorn ready to go.
Awesome. And where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
Awesome. As for me, I'm going to give a shout out to Danny and Ray for being good sports and doing the little acapella stuff and weird stuff that we did at the beginning of the show and probably going to end the show with here. Thanks for that. And hopefully I get my soundboard and stuff working next week. I got to figure out why this Go XLR is, being weird, and all of that. And if you, are a patron, you heard all of my complaints on the pre-show today. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at Eldorian. So thanks for joining us for episode 205 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMet Podcast or email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttonew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. And see you next week. Okay, this is where the outro song.
Flat.